I'd like to call the meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order. I note the presence of a quorum. First item is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on November 29, 2018. Do I have a motion to approve? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The agenda items, Rich Froelich will address the agenda items.
Great. Thank you, Harry. So today is always a fun day. It's our audit day. We'll start with Kathy doing the annual financial report for HDC for fiscal year 2018. To not steal her or lose thunder, it was a good year and a good audit, so we're very pleased. Then Lou Roberts will do the E&Y report for their audit, and there are a variety of reports that he'll walk us through all of them. Then Ellen will do our annual investment report as required by the Public Authorities Accountability Act, and then she'll also do the debt and investment reports. Mary will do the credit risk update, and then with respect to the annual audit committee report and memo on REMIC funding, Eric will kind of explain to you a little bit of the changes in staffing that are going on so that we can walk through that. But I will do the memo on REMIC funding, and Mary will do the annual audit committee report.
Yeah, so I just do a quick overview. As folks know, as the board members know, we have made some organizational changes, and we are continuing with a little bit of that with the retirement of Shirley Jarvis. We thought that we had an opportunity to combine some functions and gain some efficiencies, and it made sense in a number of ways. So what we've thought about is Mary Palm, for a long time, has headed chief for credit risk and chief credit officer, which is an independent function reporting to the office of the president. We thought it might make sense to have internal audit report along that same line, also an independent function that might make a lot of sense and combine those jobs together in a lot of ways. And so we have done that. We have promoted her to this chief risk officer position as opposed to chief credit officer position, combining those functions. What that means, however, is that REMIC had been for a long time housed in that stack, and we thought it also made sense to, because that is a more of a pure business function, to move that function over. And so that function is moving over to Terry in asset management, which now is reports to Rich as well in his new role. So we think that that makes sense. We think it gains certain efficiencies. We think it keeps those functions that need to be independent, and we think it puts the business function in a proper business stack. So that's the clarification that we wanted to give you on. Thank you. And by the way, thanks to both Mary and Terry for taking on this.
Kathleen, the presentation of the annual financial report.
Thank you, Harry. I'm pleased to report that 2018 was another exceptional year for the corporation. HDC has maintained its position as one of the nation's leading housing finance agencies and has continued to play a central role in the mayor's housing plan. The financials of the corporation, as well as the strong leadership and hard work of the dedicated staff, are a strong measure of that continued success. During fiscal year 2018, the corporation issued 19 bond series totaling $1.6 billion. In addition, proceeds from debt obligations issued during the year amounted to $190.4 million, and three new certificates of participation with the FFB totaled $85 million, for a total of $1.9 billion in proceeds for the fiscal year. Total HDC assets were $19.3 billion, an increase of $2.96 billion, or a little over 18% from fiscal year end 2017, due to the corporation's robust mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year, as well as the securitization of a city mortgage loan portfolio and the increase in the HPD Section 661 funds granted to HDC for making loans on HPD's behalf to developments that are also financed by HDC. Total liabilities were $16.5 billion, an increase of $2.7 billion, or 19.5% from 2017, as a result of the corporation's ongoing debt and lending activities. HDC's total net position at fiscal year end was $2.8 billion, an increase of $247.3 million, or 9.57% from 2017, due to normal operating activities and proceeds from the CD loan securitization. The increase in net position will allow the corporation to continue to play a critical role in the mayor's housing plan and provide subsidies to the affordable housing developments that we finance. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mary John, our controller, as well as the senior managers in the department and the rest of the HTC accounting staff for all their hard work and dedication in producing the financial statements and footnotes, as well as working diligently with the EY team in wrapping up another successful audit. You and his team will walk you through the audit results, but if you have any questions, we'd be happy.
I have one question. In terms of the bond capacity,
we'll go over that in the debt report, but we have about $1.6 billion in capacity right now. So we have room. We got an increase done last summer. And so
mostly 13.5 billion.
Up to 13.5.
Are we going for more?
It's depending on what we project, whether we'll see an increase or not. We actually, that process happens in the spring, but we'll take a look at it. So.
I think it is fair to say that as we talk about the NYCHA stuff more, that question becomes more of a real question.
Next item is the Ernst & Young audit report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lou Roberts, the engagement partner. I'm joined by Vincent Allard, who's the senior manager on the audit. If I could turn your attention to page 3 of our handouts. Cover page looks like this. Materials. Page 3 is just a snapshot of our services and deliverables. So we audit the financial statements of the corporation as well as the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, which consist of your 236 interest rate subsidy program as well as the disaster recovery grants. We also issue a schedule of investments that is required in accordance with the PAAA Act. Then we also, as it relates to internal control communications, report on internal control in accordance with government auditing standards, and then a report on compliance and internal control over the grant programs in accordance with the uniform guidance. This year, we do not have any items that would be included in a management letter. However, we do issue what we call the no material weaknesses letter because there is a document that needs to be provided to the power system, so that suffices the management letter. And then we also issue a report on compliance with the minimum servicing requirements, the USAP report, with respect to the HPD servicing of the loans. Page 4 is an executive summary. Start off with the SAP status. Our audit was carried out. The significant areas were consistent with what we had communicated back in September. The only thing we have with respect to the financial statements is to obtain the standard letter signed for management representation, which Kathy is indicating she has right there. And just to summarize, the reports that we issue are unmodified opinions, which means they are clean opinions. Again, the scope was consistent with the plan that we communicated back in September, and there was no need for changes to that plan. The corporation's analysis on significant accounting matters is appropriate in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Reasonable judgments were made by management. There were no corrected misstatements or uncorrected misstatements. The entity level controls and other controls over the financial reporting are designed effectively, and we received outstanding cooperation and communication from the corporation. The next two pages is a summary of areas where we place emphasis on throughout the course of the audit. This is similar to the listing of areas that we presented to the audit committee back in September. I'm not going to go through each one of these, but just to note that there were no exceptions noted as a result of our audit procedures. Page 8 is a summary of our required communications. The pages that follow go into more detail, but I just want to cover some of the ones that I think are important for me to communicate to the audit committee. We already talked about the plan scope. It was consistent. The accounting policies are consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. Good thing this year, there were no new GASB requirements that needed to be implemented. Last year, if you recall, we had GASB 75, which was a pretty significant undertaking. We took a fresh look at the required disclosures this year, and they are in accordance with the GASB standards. I already communicated that there were no misstatements that we identified. There are no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that are being reported or were identified. We did not identify any instances of fraud or noncompliance with laws and regulations. We did not have any significant difficulties encountered during the audit. We had no disagreements with management. As it relates to our external confirmations over investments and debt, there were no limitations on scope. So whatever we wanted to send out as far as communications, there was no pushback from management. And all of the confirmations that we did receive came back without exception. And in summary, there were no issues regarding the oversight of the financial reporting process. There's a lot of information in the footnotes, a lot of detailed information that we comb through to make sure, even to the thousands of a percentage, it agrees to the supporting documentation. So compliments to the team who prepares the financial statements. So that concludes my brief remarks. I'd be happy to address any questions you might have.
Is there anything that we should be asking?
Hopefully I covered all the... I don't believe so. I know there are changes with internal audit, so that would be something for you to continue to assess and evaluate. And I've offered up to have meetings with the chief risk officer and to the new person once hired, just to share our knowledge and background, help them transition, and even bring on an internal audit person from EY just to kind of go through some governance that might be helpful to them. But that would be something to keep that done.
Any other questions? We have approval of the fiscal year 2018 annual financial statement. Do I have a motion?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Ellen, approval now for the 2018 annual investment report.
Okay, thank you. New York State Public Authorities Law requires ATC to provide an annual investment report and details the required content for the report. These requirements are met by the 2018 annual investment report presented, which includes data on the investments made, investment earnings and fees paid, draft copies of the corporation's audited financial statements, the investment guidelines, and a draft report of independent auditors on compliance with investment guidelines. The report also includes descriptive information about the corporation, the funds it has under management, and the various types of oversight and controls of a corporation's investment practices. Major points in the report include: earnings on investments totaled $62.8 million in fiscal year 2018. This is an increase of $24.98 million in fiscal year 2017. This can be attributable to an increase in short-term interest rates and an increase in investment proceeds during fiscal year 2018. Potential rising interest rates across short-term maturities and a flatter yield curve environment are factors to consider the corporation's ongoing investment strategy. Most of the corporation's commitments, majority investments must stay held for the short term but provide sufficient liquidity for the corporation. In response to the current interest rate environment, the corporation continues to invest in primarily in collateralized demand deposits and direct purchase of U.S. Treasury and agency obligations in order to optimize yield. Described by GASB number 31, the corporation has recorded a fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio. The corporation recorded net depreciation of $9.25 million for fiscal year 2018. According to the corporation's investment policies, it looks to invest its bond and corporate-related reserves and securities with the intent to hold the investment to maturity. As a result, any unrealized appreciation or depreciation is only reported as an accounting gain or loss at this time. HTC funds under management increased about 25.2% from fiscal year end 2017 to fiscal year end 2018, from $4.2 billion to $5.26 billion. corporation had 9.57% growth in net position over last year. The fiscal year ended in October 2018, short-term rates have trended slightly higher. ATC did not incur or pay any fees, commissions, or charges for investment services. Treasury operations are conducted by the corporation's cash management division, which uses electronic and telephone bidding processes to competitively purchase securities that meet the corporation's investment guidelines and funding needs. Oversight is provided internally by an investment committee and by various reviews by ATC's credit risk and internal audit unit. There are also investment and credit risk reports presented each meeting of the corporation's audit committee and annual examination by our external auditors, Ernst & Young. The corporation's investment guidelines were approved by the members on September 26, 2018, with no changes at that time. Upon approval by the audit committee and ratification by the board, this report will be submitted to the mayor and to both city and state controllers as required by the public authorities law. We'd be glad to answer any questions about this report for the investment guidelines. Okay. If there are none questions, the corporation requests that the members approve the 2018 annual investment report and readopt the investment guidelines without any changes at this time.
I have a motion.
Second.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. The corporation's debt report is as of December 31st, 2018. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of October 31st, 2018. During that time, the corporation issued 6 years of open resolution bonds totaling $478.85 million. Market is one series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $100 million and issued one series of standalone debt obligations in the amount of $24 million. There are bond redemptions in a single series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $25.4 million, and there are redemptions in three series of standalone debt obligations in the amount of $52.2 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of December 31st 2018 is approximately $11.9 billion. Corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $13.5 billion. On another note, on Wednesday, January 16th, the bond buyer published its annual top 25 list of municipal bond issuers in the nation for 2018 and ranked ATC at 21. And the article claimed that ATC vaulted 20 plus spots, and the periodical applauded ATC's major move from a previous ranking of 45 in 2017. While the publication listed our issuance at $1.77 billion, when you add in our direct place bonds, the amount is over $1.8 billion for the year. In addition, the corporation is ranked as the number one multifamily affordable housing issuer in the nation as well. We've consistently ranked in the top, you know, as a top of multifamily issuer, but this is the first time that we've really been in the top spot of municipal issues, which includes the state, the large state buildings. I wanted to work really hard.
How do we go up another 20 spots?
Okay.
Number one is Gaz.
Number one is what?
Yeah, it's on the current time.
The state.
Of 920.
They issue a lot of the state financing.
So we'd have to really vault.
The investment report?
Yes, please.
The corporation investment report in front of you is as of January 17, 2019. The funds under management total approximately $5.17 billion, and this report was what a routine investment activity.
That's it.
Okay.
Credit risk disclosure, Harry.
There were no new additions to the approved list of counterparties since the last report, and there were no credit rating agencies. Our counterparty exposure remains well diversified. Investments rated AA or higher were 52%
Thank you. Next item is approval of the 2018 Annual Audit Committee Report. Mary?
Thank you. Pursuant to the New York City Comptroller's Office, Directive Number 22 regarding accounting, financial reporting, and audit requirements, the HDC Audit Committee is required to publish an annual report detailing its activities for the prior calendar year. The report before you is a compilation of the minutes from all the Audit Committee meetings that occurred during the calendar year. Upon your approval and ratification by the board, a copy of this report will be submitted to the Secretary of the Audit Committee for the City of New York. If there are no questions, your approval is possible.
I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carried. Now we come to the Remick Funding Bridge.
Thanks, Ed. Senior management is requesting your approval from the corporation to transfer $10 million from HCC Corporate Services account to Remick. HCC has periodically transferred money to its Remick subsidiary to increase the balance at Remick to support its role as a credit enhancer on affordable housing loans. This will be the third contribution from HCC and the first since HCC transferred $8 million in fiscal year 2015. The corporation also transferred $10 million in 2012. The major purpose of the transfers is to bolster REMIC balances as it takes on ensuring both increases in loans and mortgage amounts. By law, REMIC must maintain a balance of 20 cents for its insured and committed amounts. Although well above that level, management believes that it's important to have a larger amount in REMIC to support its projected pipeline and increased role in the mayor's housing plan. Staff will continue to monitor balances and potential insurance requirements. It's currently projected that HCC will make another contribution to REMIC in either fiscal 2021 or 2022. Are there any questions? If not, we recommend that the members approve the transfer of $10 million from HCC reserves to REMIC.
Do I have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Is there any other business?